You are listening to episode 0.101 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. Listening to episode number 0.101 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. Yes, you heard that right, correct? 0.101. Why? Because we've been bought by Marvel! Surprise!
Oh, no!
And because of that, I must be forced to be politically correct at all times. So joining me tonight, my two African-American friends from the city of New York. Taser, welcome to the show.
Okay.
And of course, our homosexual friend, Arnold.
thanks.
And joining us, the man from Mitt Romney's home state, Mr. Brian Powers.
No, our token white guy.
Yes, I am the token. I am the token here at the Mighty Warriors 3.
We're gonna get him a shirt, a white shirt with a black tee on it.
Also, add a beer can.
Oh, and put some car parts on his lawn.
Because he lives in Kentucky. All right.
Don't you know judge
what?
Me.
You know what? Fuck this political. Fuck this. All right. Anyways, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether it's comics, movies, TV, video games, and last week, porn. First and foremost, the one thing I wanted to bring up was if you lived in a certain area, I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, but last week, I think it was late Tuesday morning, on April 21st at 3:30 a.m., there was a truck driving accident with a diamond truck and a car. It was fatal. The driver of the car was killed on site, was killed on scene, and the drivers of the truck were receiving non-life-threatening injuries, as I was trying to get out. So if you wanted to get certain books like Fury Max, some of the Marvel titles that came out, Fury Max, Marvel, Fanboys vs. Zombies 2, Exo Man of War number 1, Garfield number 1, and such and so forth, unfortunately that was the reason they were not shipped. And granted, you know, I've seen the lowest of humanity when I saw a poster on a certain website basically say, oh, so that's why my fucking comics are not here, you know. So do us a favor and send your prayers to the person who tragically died due to this. You know, no matter the circumstances, it's always tragic when a life is lost. So yeah, do them a favor, send them your thoughts. But with that out of the way, let's get right into news. As we know, we just did a special edition review podcast of The Avengers, and you can check that right on our iTunes feed as well as our website. It's going to be right below this one. There was another trailer that was released for another Marvel movie is coming out, the Amazing Spider-Man movie, starring not Eduardo from the Social Network, even though
that was totally Eduardo.
What's his name? Because
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield. I just know him as Eduardo now. Andrew Garfield and of course Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy, and Dennis Leary. Is it Dennis Leary?
Yes, Dennis.
As Captain Stacy, and of course, Iris Fiennes, the drunken Scotsman from that football movie, Keanu Reeves as the Lizard. We just got a second trailer, and I'm liking this movie more and more the more I see it. Now, I'm being cautious optimist as possible, but I love the look of the Lizard. I just instantly love it. And the little sneak peek of him in a lab coat was just awesome. I'm pretty sure he's not going to have that for the entire thing. But just a little, hey, he wears a lab coat nod to the fans is always cool. The fact that Spider-Man quips is so awesome and so nice. You found my weakness. Tiny knives. It's like, is it the best joke in the world? No.
The fact that it is a joke.
Yes. Because, again, the criticism that you can say to any of the Spider-Man movies by Raimi is that he doesn't talk shit while he's Spider-Man. It's basically the same guy who's you might as well think Spider-Man's a mute who occasionally says, "Hold on." That's about it. The action looks to be bigger in scale. Apparently, the story we got so far is that there's a biological attack probably set on by the Lizard, and of course you have the mystery angle that they're playing with of like what really happened to his parents. You know, they never said they died. I guess in this movie they're implying that. So, and Oscorp somehow connected, and of course Dr. Kirkconnis is connected to that. So I'm really interested to see this movie, and I don't want to bash on it because I said this 1,000 times already, but I'll say it again. We all bashed on fucking X-Men First Class, and we all fucking owned up to it when we did the review last year. So I'm hoping this movie's another, especially me being the Spider-Man guy, I'm hoping this is another home run. And that shot of him web-slinging looks straight something out of Todd McFarlane drawing, just the way they have the body of the positioning of Spider-Man look. It just feels more dynamic in this one. Taser, I don't know how I don't know if you've been positive about this movie. What did you think of this latest trailer?
What I saw last Friday with the A-Train and crew. I like that we get the Lizard. I think Lizard looks, you know, he's suitable for my taste. I like the costume. I like the fact that he's got.
Don't let West hear you say that.
Red web shooters, don't you know, real web shooters. But I don't know. There's just I'm nowhere near as psyched for this as I was for Avengers, and I've seen things to like about it. It's just I'm not at the edge of my seat going, I can't wait for this movie. I'm leaning back and I'm going, okay, if I see it, I'll see it. I'm not gonna rush out and see it. I might bootleg it. You know, I'm meh. I'm not feeling the heat. You know, and that's purely on my part. I can't even put it into words. I just don't feel the urge to gush over it. Sorry.
All right, Arnold, what did you think about the new Amazing Spider-Man trailer?
I'm kind of in the same boat as you and Taser, I guess I would say. I'm still hesitant about this movie, but the more and more I see of it, the more intrigued and the more willing I am to go see it. Whereas before, when I started hearing casting and stuff about it, I was like, fuck it, no, not going to happen, definitely not. Like, everything about this sounds wrong. But I'm definitely warming up to it. And while we didn't see it in the trailer, I did see it still at some point. I know I'm getting what I asked for, so there's going to be a lizard in a lab coat, so you get another point in the pro side. I know I keep bringing this up a lot, but I don't know why. I just like lizard in a lab coat. I think it's great. And just
it's like Hulk wearing purple pants as a staple.
Yeah,
it's people.
It's out there, and the fact that it manages to stay on and, you know, through all the fights and everything, I like seeing shit like that. You know, those little homages and stuff. But I want to see where they're going with it. Like you said, I'm glad we've got the Quippage going on, and I hope that there's a decent amount of it. I'm still not really a fan, and I guess maybe I have to see how it's done. I'm still not a fan of this whole idea that we're getting some of the moments in it from Spidey's perspective. I'm not sure if that's really necessary, but again, it's a matter of how they pull it off or to what effect it's used. But you even see a couple of scenes in the trailer, or at least some of the teasers, where it looks like we're following through Spider-Man's lenses and perspective. So that seems slightly hokey to me. And again, that is a point in the, not con, but in the nervous side of things, of where it's going. But we'll see. I probably won't be rushing out to see this one at a midnight showing or opening weekend or anything like that. Avengers pretty much snapped up all my superhero excitement for the year. I think I'm excited for Dark Knight Rises, not as excited as I was for just the Dark Knight proper. But yeah, Avengers is sealing for me. This trailer, again, it's got me slightly more intrigued than I was previously.
All right, well, the thing is, do y'all have any theories of where they want to go with this whole Ben Parker and May Parker, not Ben Parker, but Richard and May Parker's sort of mystery? I honestly hope, one, it's not the Venom symbiote, because Sony has a fucking hard-on for that thing. And as much as I love Venom, I don't want them to hint that, like, he's, you know, like the Ultimate Spider-Man approach, that he was working on a secret project. I also don't want to hear a single mention of fucking clones. Because I guarantee to you, if I hear the mention of a clone or a Professor Miles Warren, I'm going to lose my shit. The movie could be... Because I don't like those characters. I don't like those elements.
Don't get over it.
You don't like Kane?
I don't mind Kane. Look. I hate Ben Reilly. We've been over this.
So what if they did a clone saga but just made Kane and only did Kane alone?
Because they're not going to do Kane. They're going to do Ben Reilly.
You don't know, but you don't know what they're going to do.
I'm pretty sure they're going to do Ben Reilly.
What if they do both?
If they do both, then I would want Kane to kill Ben Reilly. But my point, just as me...
It all happened in the story, did it not?
The thing is, just for me as a fan, I just don't want the... I just don't... The outside of Kane... And this new Scarlet Spider series, which I'm dropping anyways, not because of clones, just because I've been bored with it. But I just don't want to hear the word clones or Miles Warren. It's all I don't want to hear. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. But if it does, I think I'm going to lose my collective shit, the fact that there could be a clone saga on this screen. But again, this is all speculation for me. I honestly hope, you know, I don't know, maybe it's... They're probably going to tie it to the fact that Peter Parker was always supposed to be Spider-Man, and he was going to be genetically tested as a baby, but they didn't do it because he died too much. I don't know, something, some bullshit like that. Taser, do you have any theories on what they went away for?
Felicia Hardy. No.
What about Black
Cat? I was that freaking Black Cat.
No, what about her? Like, I'm just...
They're waiting for her.
Oh.
Yeah. No, actually, I don't know. Don't know. All I can say is this. I would much rather they get away from... When it comes to Spider-Man and his movies, get away from the animal villains, seriously. Because I don't want the next one to be the Rhino, you know, or even Mysterio. Maybe Electro. But I'm looking for the Shock. Yeah, well... Fair enough. Oh, Kraven. I don't want Kraven.
I want Kraven.
Kraven's Kraven's awesome.
I want the Shocker. You know, I want Hydro Man. They gave us... actually, I like Sandman. You know, that's a good, you know, Spider-Man villain. I don't want Animal Guy. I don't want the Fly. I do not want the Fly.
I think it's safe that you're not going to get
the Fly. I don't want Puma. Screw that. I don't want Puma.
Puma's awesome. You know?
Puma is awesome, but I'm tired of animal opponents. No, give us the guys that destroy shit.
To be fair, you only got one animal opponent, and that was Doc Ock, Octopus, in Spider-Man.
Green Goblin. Thank you.
That's not an animal.
That's a mythological creature.
Thank you. Animal. It's an animal.
It's not.
Is it human? No, it's an animal.
A goblin's not... I'm not... I'll continue, because I'm...
No, Taser, haven't you ever played 20 Questions? It's other...
Tombstone.
An Eminal.
I want to see Prowler work his way into the franchise. That'd be pretty sweet to see.
Yeah, that actually, yeah, Hobie. No. I want Rocket Racer. Rocket Racer. That's what I want.
Next, you'll be asking for Lady Stilt Man.
I want Electro. I want fucking Electro.
No, Electro would be good.
Not like some modern revamp, but with the big old yellow lightning mask and I want that.
You won't get the big old lightning mask, but you'll get something approximate.
I want the big yellow lightning mask.
No, as a matter of fact, I wouldn't mind a movie that had both Felicia and Electro. You know, that could be an interesting movie. But I'm tired of animal villains. You know, or creature villains, stuff like that.
Better.
He said the Prowler. My roommate just said the Prowler.
Eat you to it, buddy.
Oh, better yet, you could have a movie where you have like part of like maybe the second or third background story would be Felicia Hardy after the Prowler because of something that might lead us to who knows.
Put Morbius in the movie.
Yeah. There you go. Morbius.
The living vampire. Yeah, that actually would be pretty... Well, You know what? You know what? And this is not me saying that, but I guarantee you what would happen if they did decide to do Mobius, the Living Vampire. They would. There would at least be one person on the internet saying, "Oh, they're chasing the Twilight fans."
Guaranteed. Of course, and people will always say that because you know Twilight was the first and only vampire movie that was ever fucking made.
Before. Mobius would wreck up.
No one ever said these kids were smart, Arnold. That's giving them way too much credit.
Mobius is awesome. Yeah, but Mobius.
Morbius.
But he's a creature.
Mobius is a device.
He's a creature. He's a vampire. So does that go against your
rule? But he's undead.
He's still a creature.
Who says we have to wait for Daredevil to reintroduce Kingpin? Maybe Spider-Man could do that. It's not like Kingpin is, you know.
Tombstone.
He's a better gangster villain. Tombstone. At least he has power. Well, not powers, but at least.
Kingpin has resources. He could hire the Black Cat and Prowler, and he could do all this
Hammerhead.
Hammerhead?
Couldn't do Hammerhead with
flat top doing headbutts? Seriously?
If you're going to do Tombstone, why not do Hammerhead?
No, I would do a three-way. I would have Tombstone as the big baddie, but I would have Prowler, Felicia Hardy, and the Fox all after something, and it ultimately being a... You don't remember the Fox?
Old man, old black man.
Oh, no, he's not an old black man. He's an old white man. But he's a better thief than...
Wait, Felicia's father?
No.
No. But he's the Fox. So
before my time, I suppose.
Yeah, all of 5 years ago, anyway.
Hey, Taser! Fuck you!
Alright, so it seems... Arnold, do you have any theories to what Richard and May Parker were working on or where they went?
No, I'm not sure. I know they've already been... If they weren't already telling us that, you know, they were connected with Dr. Connors and the whole science angle kind of thing, I would have thought that they were maybe going to push the whole... spies thing, which I guess could still be done, but if I'm remembering my history correctly, which I could not be doing at all, it was kind of the whole deal that Richard and Mary Parker, weren't they like spies or covert ops or something of that nature, and that's how they died, or something to that extent. I'm not sure how much of that is an actual 616 or alternate universe, but I'm kind of in the dark as to where they could be going at it. I mean, Peter's parents have been... You know, they say it's the untold story, but at the same time, I feel like it's the story that not really anybody was asking for. Not that that's a bad... But, you know, how many people out there in the comic world are going like, dude, man, I really wish I knew what happened to Peter Parker's parents. Like, you know...
Well, it's an interesting idea, because we just, when you first meet him...
It's an idea, and the Ultimate Universe went into it, and when they did it, it was, again, it clicked like, oh, well, there's something that I never really thought to ask or didn't even really...
Which I think this is going to happen with the mask. Oh, what did happen? Because never, even any iteration of Spider-Man that I've known, or cartoon, or movies, they never say what happens to his parents.
It never gets brought up. No, it never gets brought up. I think the closest was the 90s cartoon that may have touched on it a little bit.
Yeah, that started
the whole Six Foot Nine Warrior story arc.
Yeah.
But that was probably about the closest that we've got since, aside from Ultimate Spider-Man. So, again, it's cool that they're going into it, but so I guess since nobody's really touched on it that much, they kind of almost have liberty to do with it what they want, because again, it's a question that honestly I don't think anybody's really asking or clamoring for, but it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I hope it's not something cheesy or stupid or hokey, and we'll find out.
Alright, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Some of us are very mixed on The Amazing Spider-Man, and some of us are looking forward to it, like me, because it looks cool, and Dennis Leary and all that stuff. All right, well, let's move on. There's no Book of the Week this week, just because there was nothing worthy of being the Book of the Week this week, deemed by the Odinson. So let's move straight into individual reviews, and I am going with the Defenders, number 6. Fraction, this time joined by some last guy by name Ibanez. I think it's Raul Ibanez. I could be wrong. Victor Ibanez. Basically... Ever since the first story arc was 3 issues, and 4, 5, and 6 now have been basically continuing the theme of the story about they need to shut down the Concordance engines, but giving introspectives into the characters in case you're not familiar with them. In issue 4, we got Doctor Strange. In issue 5, we got hinted that Captain Nemo may be Namor's father. In issue 6... Here's a spoiler if you haven't read this book. Someone has killed 3 of the immortal weapons. Dog Brother number 1, Bride of 9 Spiders, and I can't remember the last one was. It was Dog Brother number 1, Bride of 9 Spiders, and what's his name?
Didn't say Fat Cobra. Fat Cobra was either dead or in a coma.
Tiger's Beautiful Daughter, that was the last one. And Fat Cobra's in a coma. So someone is killing them, and it's all connected to these engines. And apparently with the Concordance engine, like there's 2 points where Misty Knight asks him, what are you doing? What exactly are you doing? And well, you know it. He can't form the words. Same, and then of course he lets Doctor Strange know about this, and Doctor Strange tells him, says I had the same thing with Captain America. Captain America's like, you know, I put up with your shit before. We're not the military, but I would at least like to know where you're at. And he tried to tell him, but he couldn't form the words. So there you go. So it seems like the reason the Concordance engine has been hidden for so long, and is because it's for somehow it doesn't allow you to form the words when you're not around it, which I think is awesome. It's like Grant Morrison, something good, right? And I love that kind of shit. So each of these Concordance engines have pressors, which you met in the first three issues, and they protect it. Danny Rand tries to punch it, and the presser just stops him, just palms his fist, and just goes back to sleep, apparently. And Danny Rand, looking into the murders of the Immortal Weapons, learns that Orson Rand, the Iron Fist previous to him, had gone on adventures to also search for the Concordance engines, and he was fighting a mystery opponent. Who is this mystery opponent? Well, it's John Amann from the Immortal Iron Fist series, one of the other Immortal Weapons. He's been killing all the Immortal Weapons, and the only reason he did it was because he heard Danny Rand was involved and thought... And he heard a ragtag group was with Danny Rand. He thought, oh, so I'll just kill the Immortal Weapons because this is the only group that Danny Rand hangs around with. So he kills them on accident. He didn't even mean it. He meant to kill the Defenders, but he didn't know. So basically, he's trying to to keep the engines going. And now it's up to the Defenders to shut them down. Meanwhile, you get a nice little bit. Apparently, Silver Surfer's working in Broxton, Oklahoma as a food cook. And like he's trying to live life as normal life. There's a fight sequence at the end towards where they fight John Amann, and Silver Surfer just swallows him. Like literally, like Kirby style.
Kinky.
Like what? You know, and he actually there's a very weird panel of like Silver Surfer flying on his surfboard, looking sort of very alien-esque. Flying, and he spits John Amann into the heart of a volcano, which I thought was fucking awesome. So yeah, this issue really solidified me that okay, Fraction is building towards something fucking huge, and I need to know how this is gonna play out. I want to know the history of this. This seems to go back a long time. I don't care if it retcons shit. If it retcons anything, I don't care. This is really interesting to me. It's just weird, and I like weird. And you don't get a lot of that books with Marvel Comics. Matt Fraction's a disciple of Morrison, so he's feeling very Morrison-like in this, in a good way to me. So I give this a solid 4 out of 5, and this to me says, okay, I'm going to be sticking with, unless something really bad happens that I hate, I'm going to be sticking with the Defenders for a long time. If you like weird shit in Marvel, you're going to love the Defenders.
Yay.
Yay, Defenders. Yay.
Hey, the Defenders are awesome. So
Defenders are awesome.
Let's go to you, Taser, with Avengers Academy. Take it away.
Oh, no. Don't go to me. Don't go to me. Anyway, Avengers Academy 29 was basically a passway story, you know, between... whatever happened in Avengers vs. X-Men, what was that, 2 or 3 that came out? The one where Cap, you know, tossed Logan off the freaking...
Trace, Taser.
Okay, it was number 3. Apparently, on their way to wherever, they scooped up the kids and dumped them into Casa Hank Pym. So you got all the Mutie kids, meaning the non... whatever kids.
The metahuman kids.
No, this isn't DC. Let's just say they're not mutant kids. The non-mutant kids versus the mutie kids. Ooh. And of course, tempers and I don't know if you can trust them. So, hey, I got an idea, everybody. Let's have a friendly competition to show that we're all really the same. Because it always ends well. So, of course...
Dude, the issue started with Naked Hercules. Did you really think it was end well?
Okay.
Hercules is awesome, so naked, shut your mouth.
Okay. We got that on tape, right? We're recording this. Sting chair.
We recorded for posterity. Yeah, so they have something, you know, between the two groups, and they go 1-1, and then something happens, and then the mutant kids go, screw y'all, we don't want to play anymore. And apparently there was something where, and I still haven't read the book yet, but thank you, Corwin, for, you know, giving me the info of the issue. What's the name? Sebastian Shaw had his mind wiped, and he was hanging out, and he's all antagonistic, and, you know, that's like, I don't trust you, Shaw. You're a bad man. Bad, bad man. Get in your room. Can I have a book to read, please? Sure, take this big hardbound novel. And he sits in his room and he whacks himself for freaking 8 hours to build up enough of a kinetic charge to break out.
Who put him in a prison?
Jeffries and Tigress.
So you're telling me that they didn't know that was his power and they gave him a book anyways?
No, the guy flat out says, I didn't think about the books. I didn't think to, you know, that the books would do anything.
Fucking moron.
Pretty much.
Let's be real here. 8 hours? Would anybody see somebody doing that for 8 freaking hours?
You would think you would stop him after hour 1. You know what? Fuck the Avengers Academy.
And he said that the room was built to deal with them, so who would have thought that they'd forget the floor? So... he broke through the floor, and he's in the sewers, and they have to go after him, end of comic. It wasn't a special book, you know. It focused on the, hey, we've got the teen people, and the teen mutants, and let's show them that, you know, the fight isn't, you know, they're not included in the fight, and we don't consider it as such. But, of course, the simple fact remains that if they try to leave, then, yeah, there might be a problem. So, come on, let's all try to get along. It's the get-along gang. And, that's basically it. You can ignore this issue. This issue added nothing to the Avengers Academy mythos, and it does nothing for Avengers versus X-Men, aside from going, hey, where are the kids at this point? It's a passable issue. You can pass up the issue. I give it a middle of the road. It gets a 3.5. It doesn't suffer from bad writing or bad art. It's just there's nothing special about this book, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but that just seems so.
Including the naked Hercules in the beginning.
Hey, naked.
By the way, I like how the couple of Avengers girls are just sitting there quietly considering, not like looking away, just quietly considering.
Hercules is a god. And I'm pretty sure he's gonna rock their world. Dude knows how to have a good time.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah. The thing that I dug most about this issue, though, I don't mean to interject, but it was just the fact that okay, kids, you're not under arrest, but you can't
like
leave
the Japanese internment camps in the 1940s when we arrested all Japanese prisoners.
Yeah.
Now see,
they
just took all the lightheartedness out of it and threw in a bunch of moral conscience and
because
shit.
That's
and,
what it's supposed to be. That's exactly what they're saying. This is.
It, but they tossed in the Chinese and the Korean. Anybody that looked like a niece.
Well, they're
going to
toss in all mutants in this, so fuck it.
Well, they tossed all the mutants they could find.
They're going to find them because they're dirty, rotten mutants.
Evil mutants!
I believe in Senator Robert Kelly. No, I'm sorry, but just...
Do?
Just that notion of...
So he has a mutie baby of his own.
Uh-oh.
I'm just sorry, but that... The idea that you know, I'm pretty sure they know what Sebastian Shaw's power is. Any kind of foreign object is going to help him. You don't give that shit.
No, I agree with Taser. Who is going to honestly believe someone's going to sit there for 8 hours smashing themselves in the face with the friggin' Encyclopedia Britannica or something?
Shouldn't they have like
really?
Shouldn't they have like cameras inside the cells to watch them what they're doing? You would think you would stop that shit after hour 1. Not let him do it for 8 hours. I'm sorry. Whoever wrote that is stupid.
That was Gage, Christoph Gage.
He's an idiot. You don't let somebody who kinetically charged their body by having stuff hit them do that. That just proves the Avengers Academy people are idiots. Either that or they don't know who Sebastian Shaw is, which I'm pretty sure that's not the case. Morons. Brian, let's go to you.
Okay. My piece de resistance this week was Daredevil, numero 12.
You're not going to go all Spanish? This... Really? You're just going to half-ass it, aren't you? Fuck you.
I'm an American. I half-ass everything. This issue was the breather between the Omega whatever thing and the new arc that's going to kick off the second piece of the Mega Crime arc, I suppose. This issue basically serves two purposes, neither of which are necessary for the story, really. It, A, shows Matt scoring some time with the ADA, McDuffie, which I'm told is a reference to Dwayne McDuffie. May he rest in peace. And second, it chronicles the origin of how Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson became friends, wherein Foggy Nelson is almost expelled from law school by a vengeful professor, and Matt and Foggy team up to prove him wrong using the law that they are currently studying. Almost nothing from the Omega storyline or Mega Crime carries over into this book, save for the last two pages. So really, it's just kind of like it's the lull before everything starts back up again. You know, it's that filler issue, and which is to say, you know, it's not necessarily bad. You know, Mark Waid does a great job telling the story as always. As was pointed out to me by you, Iggy, the artist had to change over. Now we had Samnee doing the art, who apparently also did a stint on Ultimate Spider-Man, which I honestly didn't notice at first, but then when I saw it, I realized that it was in fact a different artist. Now, the change wasn't as jarring as what apparently happened with the Ultimate Spider-Man, but it was still fairly noticeable. And it didn't really take away. It still captured the sort of, you know, noir style that, I'm sorry, I'm blanking. Who was the artist on Daredevil before this?
Paulo Rivera and Marcos Martin.
Rivera, thank you. It still captures some of the same essence that Rivera's art did, but it's still kind of a noticeable change, but not nearly as bad as what we saw with him taking over for Pacelli on Ultimate Spider-Man. The story itself was entertaining. Like I said, it isn't by any stretch of the imagination necessary for you to get the whole Daredevil scope. I'm honestly surprised it wasn't labeled a point one, but that could just be me. Overall, it was a decent story. You know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't, you know, great. I'll give it a solid 3 out of 5. It just because it didn't bring anything really relevant in what's going on in Daredevil right now to the table. It just kind of showed some more character development. And actually, I changed that. I do want to point out one scene where apparently Matt chronicles his relationship with this girl and how she constantly tests him to prove he's Daredevil. And at one point, she's lifting up her shirt to show her bra that says, "You are Daredevil" on it. And he's just sitting there, like, sweating it out. Like, he's supposed to not be able to see. But he sees. He sees off.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. 3 out of 5.
The thing about that is, and I'm not going to get the Samnee haters on me, the Samnee fans on me, but first.
There are Samnee fans?
Yeah, trust me, there are Samnee fans.
Wow.
This guy, and he's a fine artist. The art was fine, but he keeps getting put on books with, like, artists who I like even more. Like, the reason, I've told this before, the reason I liked and really enjoyed Ultimate Spider-Man was the combination of the story and interesting in the fat Asian kid and Sarah Pacelli and her gorgeous artwork. And granted, that's a much more drastic change there, but Rivera is nothing like Samnee. Rivera is clean, classic, sort of, you know, not old school-ish, but it's just more...
It's a crisp style.
Whereas Samnee's is very cartoony and very shadow-heavy and very line-heavy. And I'm like, can you just put Marcos Martin back on the title? Granted, they weren't similar style. They were similar enough that the change wasn't jarring. Plus, they were damn good. So I'm just like, I why does this guy keep being put on books that, like, he's going to feel less superior to me? Like, I just want Paulo Rivera. You know, and Marcos Martin. That's it.
Yeah,
the art wasn't bad. Oh. It was a fun story, but
right, yeah.
You know, it was just like, can I have Paulo Rivera back, please?
Yeah, I actually just want to point out one more thing before we move on to Arnold, I believe. But it's just in the storyline, Matt says in order to protect himself and his exposed identity from Megacrime, he hired a bodyguard for the night, turned out to be Spider-Man. What happened to Spider-Man?
That fear guy took him out, apparently.
Yeah, what? So he's just, like, going, like, fetal position on a rooftop somewhere doing nothing? Yes. Like what?
That's a plot hole.
That's a waste of a cameo. I'm sorry. It totally is. Just and someone like Spider-Man.
It wasn't his book, though. It wasn't his story. He was just like, are you dating Black? Is it Black Cat? No. That was funny. You have to admit. Because he was still jealous of the fact that Matt Murdock had
yeah. that ass. Is it with Black Cat? Nope. I'll do it. Yeah, that was good. But, yeah, so that was just my
last one. And, of course, Arnold begins his savagery of six with Venom number 17. Arnold, take it away.
Yes, the Savage Six prologue. So for just a quick flashback to some things that have happened in previous issues, we know that Venom went on a mission for Crime Master and went to try and steal the Toxin Symbiote, which is an offspring from the Venom Symbiote. Also, he sent them there with Jack-O-Lantern. Most recently on Flash's first mission with the Secret Avengers, he was supposed to transport the Fly. Shit went down and the Fly escaped. And we also know that Eddie Brock has been on his mad tyrant off killing all the symbiotes that he can get his hands on. So the major point of the major point of this, our focal point of this series, or this issue rather, is Flash is kind of going back and forth about his situation and having helped out Crime Master and nobody knowing about it and things of that nature. So he takes it upon himself that he is going to go after Crime Master and take him out before Crime Master can come after any of his friends or his family, like his mother or Betty, etc., because Crime Master knows who he is and knows who his loved ones are, and he can go after him. So Venom takes it upon himself. He calls up Hank Pym and lies and says he's going to use it to help out with some robberies and stuff in the area, and goes out to go kill Crime Master. What you find out is that Eddie Brock is finally caught up with Venom, who he's trying to kill the most for obvious reasons. Catches up to him, spying on him while Venom / Flash is spying on Crime Master. You find out that Crime Master has recruited the Fly to come work with him and be a member of his Savage Six. And they have been trying to get the symbiote themselves and use them as masters and Savage Six have to do with those things. Right as Flash is about to take out Crime Master, Eddie fires a shot at him. They have a fight. He gets webbed up by Flash / Venom, and Venom runs off, and that's the last we see of him. So he gets away, but he stays that Flash. I'm sorry, Eddie Brock still webbed up to a pole, so they take him captive, and Crime Master reveals that, you know, they've been trying to get all of these symbiotes to use as their weapons and sell them, etc., but because Eddie has been killing them all, it's been really hard to come by, but they have managed to find one symbiote, and they released it onto Eddie, so Eddie Brock is once again covered in a symbiote, a big giant red-green tongue mess, too, from what they showed at the end, and he's going after Venom, and that's where the issue ends. It's pretty good. The art was great. I really dug the art on this. The Venom, I don't want to say it's 90s, because every time somebody sees a giant symbiote, they'll always say 90s, but This looks pretty menacing. I'm not sure if it's actually the toxin symbiote or if it's just some kind of new enhancement that they maybe made or found that's never really elaborated on. I hope they kind of touch on that a little bit more in the future about what actual symbiote it is and how much control over it Eddie will have, if any. But it's cool. I'm a big fan of symbiotes. They're always fun. I'm sure this will clear out some of the lingering symbiotes that are about for those that may not be fans of them. I know that we've witnessed Eddie's taking out like two or three of them, I think. So yeah, will he actually take down Venom? We'll see where it goes. All in all, I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. It was good times. I'm glad this whole Venom Goes to Hell bit was done, and we're going back into stories proper about Venom and dealing with him and himself, dealing with him and his personal issues, and still keeping the fact that he's tied with the Secret Avengers, even though I'm reading it anymore. But yeah, it was good. It was a solid read. Still gonna keep you picking up the next one, and
I really wanted to see where Remender takes. I don't know about you, Arnold, but I think something very, very bad is gonna happen to Flash Thompson.
You think so?
He might lose his legs.
I have a more with Rick Remender as a writer than you.
He'll
do,
become a paraplegic.
But he has a way of torturing his characters in the most fucked up ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, when you call a storyline the Savage Six and they're very casual about hurting his mom and Betty, not saying they're going to die, but this is not going to end well for Flash. I don't think they're going to
kill him. Give him the kill of Betty?
But,
they'll just take her cane and run
also,
away.
I
That'd
really
be
like
fun.
The fact that he's giving in to the symbiote, you know? Yeah, and I'm like...
A little bit more, yeah. It was inevitable, and I want to see how... Because they did... They claimed that they put fail-safes in the symbiote, but people have claimed that numerous times. Hell, the army that he got the symbiote from claimed that they put fail-safes in it, and we saw how well that worked out. So let's see if these guys are actually smarter,
to,
even
right?
though, you know, time proven.
To me, better. It seems like they're gonna, like they're that. Leading to Flash knowing who Spider-Man is, and that it's going to take not a Spider-Man Venom face-to-face, but a Peter Parker Eddie Brock, not Eddie Brock, but Flash Thompson face-to-face, like, you need to quit this. I know what this Flash is. And at that point...
Right. The Spider-Man and Venom technically met up already as Flash, etc.
Honestly,
but...
this story is not going to end good for Eddie. I mean, for Flash. See, I think Eddie Brock when I think Venom. Anyways, Sid.
You think he'd become Venom
it'd
by
be
the end
cliche.
Of this game?
I hope not. I'm really enjoying Flash.
I agree as well, and I really want that to stick around more because I like it. It works. It doesn't feel
like
forced,
Eddie's
you know.
Role
it doesn't
now.
Feel like, oh, we need some Venom to. Yeah, you know, I dig Flash, and I mean, there's probably only so long you can keep the whole conflict. Oh,
well,
am
right
I good? Am I evil? Thing going on? But
he's acting like a drug addict, like an alcoholic. I need it. I need the next one. I need the next one.
Yeah. I just wouldn't mind if they override, eventually somehow do successfully, at least for an extended period of time, find a way to override the whole, the Venom eventually takes over, like the symbiote kind of thing takes over, and it does kind of somewhat just become an extra special suit that someone can wear, at least for a time being. Like, I mean, we've seen the light and dark struggle so many times with every person that's worn the Venom symbiote, with the exception of maybe Scorpion, and that's just a bad guy getting a better bad guy costume, you know? Yeah, just I want to see a little different, like somebody who is in complete, 100% absolute control of this symbiote
I mean,
can use it to its full capabilities. It's like akin to
the
way
Spider-Man
used
that
it when he first got it.
But that's not the nature of this Venom symbiote. It lures you in the fact that, okay, use me, then it takes over. I don't think you could, unless you genetically tamper with the DNA of the symbiote itself, because Cletus Kasady... Because I guess because of his offspring, Toxin, Carnage, Scream, or is it Scream or one of like the yellow and red one? Yeah, there's a lot of them, but like those characters don't say we. They say they don't say us. They say I. So you know, so I think it's more. I don't think
you can
do that with the Venom symbiote. Maybe with the and it's the strongest. It's called Venom for a reason. I mean, it would be interesting, but I just don't think. Unless they get, like, Reed Richards to genetically change the DNA or something in it for it's less addicting. You know, that's the only thing I can think of. But, yeah, Flash Thompson's not going to come out of this, okay?
No, some shit bad shit's going to go down. That's guaranteed. I mean, they're bringing it up too much in quick succession. About his family and this, that, and the other thing. So we know what's going to happen. I'm interested to see what it takes. But I'm thinking it.
Sure.
But can I say something? I'd like to see Flash keep the symbiote because I kind of like the idea of him being on Secret Avengers, even though I'm not reading that book, because in my head I get to go, hey, look, it's a crippled Avenger. And then immediately I think of Show Brothers movies.
But chish.
Who gets
all right.
that?
Right. Well, let's move on to our topic of the week. And this is from another podcast this is actually from comments from Jonathan Hickman, the only man we've ever interviewed for our show. And basically...
What, that tool who fucked up the Fantastic Four books?
Whoa, hey.
Did he not fuck up the Fantastic Four books?
Marvel he did not fuck up the Fantastic Four books. Thank
who
you.
Who wrote it? Who wrote the books?
Anyway,
thank you.
John,
he fucked it up. I'm
blaming
him.
Go take your pills.
We don't hold anybody sacred here. Come on now.
I'm not only going to say, I'm just saying it is not entirely land on Hickman's shoulders what happens with his
Hickman
book.
Hickman basically said some comments about the fact that the idea of a six-issue story arc for a monthly comic book is dead, or it should be dead. So they're saying that it's not right for the individual reader to pay for to read how it takes for a I'm trying to word.
A story that takes more than six issues to tell.
You know, that's just too long. Because say if a story arc starts in January and it's 6 months, the story arc doesn't end in June. That's one story you're getting from if you're reading that one book. And he doesn't think that's right. And that he said comics not necessarily should be one part, but like say three or four. He even went so far as said that maybe four part stories may be too long. And that two-parters, three-parters may be the way comics should go. I think you're seeing less and less longer story arcs. Granted, AVX is a 12-part story over 6 months, but I think if you look at some of those books out there, like Marvel books, Dan Slott's Amazing Spider-Man run has been, like a lot of them are, like this is a long one, but it's bi-weekly, so it's going to end it's going to end quicker. But like a lot of his stories are like two-part, three-parts. Hickman's Fantastic Four run till the end apparently is going to be just glorified one-shots. So I can see where he's coming from in that if you're paying for one story for half a year, maybe that's not the best way to go. You know, you want to – maybe he sees it. Maybe you want to give the customer more bang for their buck instead of just giving them one storyline for that particular year. I think it can be done well. I think it can be, you know, I don't want every story to be like that. At the same time, I mean, I know during Secret Invasion, that story was 8 issues long. And the joke was, and still is, they're still in the Savage Land. They're still in the Savage Land. And that's reading it month-to-month-to-month basis. You know, and that's 8 months. That's a long time, you know, to be reading one story. You know, so I can see where it's coming from. At the same time, one of my favorite storylines within the past couple of years has been World's Most Wanted, which is a 12-part story, you know, which had great pacing. So I think it can still exist, not necessarily as frequent, but every now and then it's nice to have a 6 or 7 part mega story, but, you know, have a lot of 3 or 4 issue story arcs in between. That's just me. I don't mind reading a 6-issue story, but, you know, there's some people who, like, this is too long, this is taking too long, you know, and, of course, you know, a lot of happens over the course of 6 months. Sometimes if the story stagnates, you know, you're like, why am I still, like, this has been going on for the same thing for the past 5 months or 6, 7 months. So, I don't know. I don't think they're dead. I think writers are going to write the way they want to, but I do think that, you know, maybe they should, some writers should go to shorter story arcs when telling their stories. Taser, you were sort of like, eh. So what are your thoughts on this?
I think the guy that kind of effed up, what was it, Future Foundation, you know, that was actually going along pretty decently for about, 6 months, and then took a sharp left turn with like a 2-issue diatribe because, you know, he wanted to bring back Black Bolt for some fakakta reason. Which writer was that?
That was Hickman.
Tell me, which one was that? Oh, okay. Yeah. So, he's complaining that, 6-issue storylines, oh, we shouldn't have to do that because that's a tired format, and you run the risk of getting tired of... Look, when he can tell a story that survives 6 issues without being boring, okay, or without veering off and then fucking it up for the people that were invested in reading it, then he can come talk to me, okay? I have no problem with a 6-issue storyline, you know? Stories are going to be what they were because they're engaging. They can be of that length as long as they keep the viewer's attention, as long as they keep shelling out the money, okay? I personally don't want to go back to the days of the fucking 50s with DC telling, like, hey, Superman goes to the moon and back, and he saves the day. And then the next issue is Superman stops the bank vault. And then the next issue is Superman goes to the moon again for the first time. And he fights different aliens, but these are the aliens that weren't there before because the other one didn't happen. I don't want everything to be brand new adventure, self-contained, and, you know, forgettable. I don't want that, okay? All I care about is give me a good story, give me decent art, you know? If you can tell the story that you want to tell within one issue or two, fine. If it takes half an issue and you devote the other half to promoting some other character who they want to give a book, fine, I don't care. But I don't think that the writer who screws up his own book has any call to talk about, oh, I think the format should change. Yeah, fuck him. Okay? Seriously. Go
Brian, what
bite
about you?
Me, dickhead.
I don't care as long as the story I like gets told. I don't care how long
Arnold,
I have to stick with it.
Arnold, what about you?
I'm a simple man.
It varies, I guess, if the story is for something extended, but if your story is really dragging out and it's going past 6-7 months, whatever, and you're still on the same storyline or not progressing anywhere, and even events are guilty of this to yourself, and you've been going on for an eternity and nothing has happened, it's like what the fuck am I?
Yeah, but Fear Itself was a way better.
I think Fear Secret for 5 issues. Yeah. Secret Invasion, it was. They're still on the island. Oh, 2 minutes of progress. They're still on the island.
Secret Invasion was miles.
That's
better than Fear Itself, in my opinion. So I would have lumped that in that category. I didn't mind the pacing of that one at all. But yeah, it can be a little annoying depending on the storyline and stuff. Sometimes it works for me, and I don't mind seeing things kind of drawn out a little bit more than they should be. I know this isn't this kind of podcast, but just random side note, Batwing in the DC area kind of did that, where it's a new character, so you were kind of doing his origin along with tying into the regular storyline, so it had to be a little bit drawn out for the purpose of that. So in that kind of regard, it doesn't bother me. Or if you're trying to introduce a whole character into it, universe at large, it can kind of work because it gives you time to flesh out the character. But then there are other times where it's like, get to the point already of what this is. I give me 6 issues of this when you could have told half of it in 2 issues. All
right, like y'all said, it depends on the pacing. And honestly, and I said this before, I'll say it again, it's that Secret Invasion was god awful boring. It was 5 issues of nothing versus 3 issues of rush fights and horrible storytelling. Fear Itself is just plain ass boring.
And stagnant.
Well, there we go. That's going to end episode number 0.101. Mm. I got no comeback. I'm tired. It's been a...
Our quickie in the 616 is over because we've been let go by Marvel after only 1 episode.
there goes that contract. $1 million contract.
Oh well.
Promise. Fuck. Yeah, fuck them.
Because you couldn't be politically correct.
Fuck mutants. anyways.
Well, you know, Emma Frost. Yeah.
What about Beak?
That. You know, maybe Rogue. Don't know
Quill.
Beak.
He's a chicken man.
Okay, it's a dude. Not you.
Taser don't roll like that.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to contact us at twitter.com/warriors3pcast. Our email is thewarriors3@gmail.com. Our website, www.thewarriors3.com. Facebook us. We're on Facebook, courtesy of Arnold.
Please talk to us. We'll love you forever if you just talk to us.
I want you to write a review.
We love you a long time.
Create an iTunes account. Go write one. Do it, damn it. Write on the site. Let us know what you think. Spider-Land is a tool.
Hey.
We like SL. He's loony. And, oh, by the way, if you find Ryan Gosling pics, please send them to Iggy over Twitter. Because he thinks he's hot. He really likes him. Please do that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, make that happen.
We will see y'all next week for episode number 102.
Woo! Where Iggy poses like Hercules in the nude.